Today we're going to look at Daniel 9 to find out if we can see an event that actually kicks off the coming tribulation. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, and thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Fred. We're going to look at and start our broadcast this morning by looking at some text from the book of Daniel. Specifically, we're going to look at Daniel 9, 24 through 27. Now, before I get into it, I do understand that there are people who have varying opinions of what this is telling us. I'm not here to convince anybody. I'm here to share my viewpoint, my opinion of what Scripture says, and we'll just leave it at that and go from there. If it happens to be something that you agree with, wonderful. If you feel like I'm out in left field, that's okay too. But let's go ahead and read the text. Daniel 9, 24 through 27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring an everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. All right, that was verse 24. Now, just to bring us up to speed here, there's an angel that has come to Daniel and actually interrupted him as he was praying. And that angel's mission was to explain to him what was going to happen, what was going to befall the people of Israel and Jerusalem. In verse 21, 24, where it says, upon thy people and upon thy holy city. That is a direct reference from the angel to Daniel. And who are Daniel's people? Well, the people he shared commonality with were the Hebrew people, Israel. What city is this angel talking about? The holy city, Jerusalem. So that was verse 24. He tells there's going to be 70 weeks. And I've got a book out called Between Weeks that explains how we arrive at 70 weeks and what that truly means. It actually means 490 years. It's 77s. Should have been translated 77s, not 70 weeks there, which would have made it 70 times 7 equals 490 sevens, or 490 years. But I get into greater in-depth detail regarding that situation in my book, Between Weeks, which is available at Amazon.com. Now, starting again, verse 25. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. That's 25. Again, Jerusalem is specifically mentioned there. Jesus, Messiah, the Prince, is also mentioned there. And the angel is telling Daniel, basically, look, from the time of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, there will be 7 weeks, and then there will be immediately following that 62 weeks, or 62 weeks. Totally 69 weeks right there. 69 sevens, really, is what it should be. 69 7. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So here the angel clarifies that after 62 weeks, there will be the Messiah who will be cut off, but not for himself. This is a very, very clear reference to the fact that Messiah is killed. For whom? Not for himself, certainly. He did not need to die. But he did that for other people, for us, not for himself. He was perfect in every way. He chose to become, to be seen as that propitiation for our sin. So he was cut off. He was killed, but not for himself. All right. That happened, as we know, when Christ was around 32, 33 years of age. the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. This prince here is a reference to a different prince. The New King James translators don't capitalize this prince like they do in the Messiah. But there's reasons in the Greek why this was not, in the Hebrew, why this was not done. But there are clearly two people here. The people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, who is that referencing? Well, it's referencing the Roman people. Because didn't the Roman armies in 70 AD come and destroy the city and the sanctuary? Yes, that happened in AD 70. So, Messiah was cut off roughly 35, 40 years later. The Romans surrounded the city of Jerusalem and basically destroyed the city and the temple and the sanctuary that was there during that time. So these people were not the people of Messiah the prince. They were people of another prince. And ultimately, I believe that that has to do with the Antichrist, because the Antichrist, under Satan's direction, tutelage, empowerment, works to suppress God's will, works to suppress and vanquish God's people. That's what that's all about. Now in verse 27, it says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Now, let's just stop there. Who's the he? Well, so far, if I've understood this correctly, we've seen two he's. We have seen Messiah the prince, and then we have also seen the people of the prince who is to come. So the prince who is to come is not the Messiah. However, in verse 27, the first antecedent that it references, the he, "and he shall confirm the covenant." Who's he? Well, it either goes back to Messiah the prince or the prince that's referenced by the people who destroyed Jerusalem and the sanctuary. And if we look at the text, the first antecedent here is the people of the prince that shall come, not Messiah the prince. And that's just simple English grammar. And that rule applies universally to language. So he shall confirm the covenant. Now we've already seen Messiah the prince has been killed in verse 26. He's cut off, but not for himself. There was his substitutionary atonement, his death and atonement. And then 35, 40 years later, Jerusalem and the temple is destroyed. And then we get to 27 and it says, he will confirm the covenant. What covenant? Well, something that happens even later than the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, the sanctuary. So he refers back to the people of the prince who shall come. And the people are the Romans, and the prince who will come is their prince. He's a Gentile. Could have mixed Jewish-Gentile blood, but he's going to be basically connected to the people, the same type of people who destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70. Those were Romans. Most likely then, this prince who is to come, I believe, is the Antichrist who will rise up from among that group of people. And it very well could be the European Union, countries in there. It may be something completely different by the time we get to that point, but it's certainly not the United States, because we're talking about the people of the prince who is to come. And those people who destroyed the temple, destroyed Jerusalem, were Roman armies. They were people who were in that Roman Empire, and we have with us today the European Union, which continues to grow virtually in the same place. But I'm not going to make a dogmatic statement about that because we're not at that point yet. So this individual, whom I believe to be the Antichrist, will come and confirm a covenant. He will make a covenant. He will confirm a covenant. He will entreat the people of who? He will make a covenant with many. Well, most likely, again, this is still talking about Israel, Jerusalem, the leaders of Israel. This whole section right here, verses 24 through 27, actually all of chapter 9, deals with Israel. So somebody's going to come who is somehow connected to the people who destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70. But later on, somebody else is going to come from that same group of people who will ultimately be prince over those people, and he will basically somehow craft a covenant and deceive Israel into signing onto the covenant. And in the midst of the week, well, we've already determined, and I have determined in other books and articles that other scholars have done the same thing, that a week here in Daniel 70 weeks is a reference for 7 years. 1 week, 7 years. So he's going to confirm the covenant for 1 week. And in the midst of that week, 3.5 years into it, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Now, currently Israel is not basically involved in any sacrificial system. They're not doing that. Why? Because they don't have physical control of the Temple Mount. On paper, ever since the Six-Day War, led by Moshe Dayan and his troops, since that time, on paper, Israel has controlled the Temple Mount. But physically, they don't control it because they left it in the hands of Arabs and Muslims. And so because of that, we have this issue that is with us today. But somehow, the Antichrist is going to come along. He's going to, I believe, make a covenant, confirm a covenant with the leaders of Israel. And I don't think everyone's going to go along with this at all. That's why it says he's going to make a covenant with many. Not all, but many. And in the midst of the week, he's going to cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. That covenant that he brings to the fore and confirms with the leaders of Israel will allow Israel, I believe, to begin the sacrificial system again. They will be able to do that on the Temple Mount. I have no idea how that's going to happen. No idea at all. One guess is that in Ezekiel 38 and 39, we read about the Gog-Magog War, when Gog gets this thought in his head that says, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to attack Israel. I mean, gee, why not? Antiochus Epiphanes in Daniel 8 and Daniel 11 did the same thing years ago on a trip back from Egypt, where he went in and he decided, I'm going to take out my frustration on Israel, in which he did. Now, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Gog, is going to get this thought in his head, but God's going to be turning him. He's going to put hooks in his jaws and turn him around, and he is going to decide to attack Israel. So, in attacking Israel, I find that that's fascinating because God responds, even before Israel gets a chance to, with a huge, huge earthquake that flattens walls and islands and everything else. Could that be the precipitating factor that causes whatever is on top of the Temple Mount at that time to be destroyed? I think it could happen. So if that Temple Mount literally is laid waste and the mosques that currently reside there are destroyed, could that be a precipitating factor in allowing Israel to build some sort of temple up there that would allow them to basically begin the sacrificial system? It could happen. I don't know all the details. I just know what the Bible says, and I think I understand it based on my study of it, research of it, and et cetera, et cetera. So here, the Antichrist is going to do something that allows Israel to begin the sacrificial system of worship again. But halfway through, he is going to cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease because of an abomination of desolation that he commits, which will basically dirty up everything. It will make the temple unusable because of what he does. And what does he do? He does what I believe Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24 when he refers to the abomination of desolation in the book of Daniel here. But what starts off the tribulation? I'm going to end with this. I believe very clearly that in verse 27 where he says, and he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That, my friends, is what kicks off the tribulation. It's not the rapture. It's not something else. It is a man who steps onto the world stage, powerful, mighty, empowered by Satan himself, and through deception, confirms a covenant with Israel. That's the kicker. And thanks for joining me today. We're done. I hope you tune in next time. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.